What's up, entrepreneurs and business owners? Welcome to the Stronger Business Podcast. We have an episode today that's going to be huge. So much information that I need as a business owner and entrepreneur. Something, honestly, I just haven't taken the time to do that I know I need to do. It's planning for the future. It's strategy. We spend most of our time trying to grow our business, trying to make money, trying to figure all this out, but not necessarily what's going to happen to it when something happens to us in the future and kind of what that looks like. My guest today, I love watching her firm grow, all the creative, cool ways they're approaching something that most people don't want to deal with and making it fun. Trish Butcher, she's owner, attorney of Arch Legacy Firm. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I'm super excited about today and having a conversation with you because this is something I know enough about to be dangerous, but I avoid at all costs because, just to be honest, I don't want to think about it. I'm like, I can worry about that in the future. But now here we are. I've got multiple businesses. I've got business partners. I'm married. We just had a little boy. I have stuff scattered all over the place, and I am embarrassed to say I have done very little planning when it comes to what happens way down the road when we start talking about wills or, you know, estate planning or different things in place. And so it's something I know I am behind the eight ball on and excited for you to guide me a little bit. But let's talk a little bit about you first. How did you get into this? Is this something that you think is a huge gap in the market on how it's approached? Tell me a little bit about you, the firm, and how we got here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually from Athens, born and raised, one of the few that's still here, went all the way through Clark County Schools, Clark Central, graduated in 06, and then went to UGA before going to Emory Law School. So lived in Atlanta for about 6 years before coming back here with my husband. And so I guess like the first real light bulb moment for me was when my grandmother passed away right as I was graduating from high school. My grandmother was a real estate investor here in Athens, very well known in the time at the time. And she was a professor at UGA. And when I decided to go to Emory Law School and pass up a scholarship to Georgia Law School, I did it thinking that I was about to inherit some money that would pay for Emory Law School. And we had copies of the will and everything like that. So, you know, we were supposed to get the liquid assets, me, my sister, my brother, and then my dad was going to get all the real estate. Most of the money was in the real estate. And surprise, right after I accepted Emory Law School and had applied, I found out that my grandmother's will had been changed post mental capacity, most likely. And unfortunately, a lot of people think that can't happen, but there's a lot of nefarious people in the world, and there's a lot of attorneys that are not very good. So, and willing to help the nefarious people. So, so that was kind of the first eye opener that a lot of things had been changed in my grandmother's estate. The second was when my step grandfather passed away about 7 years later, and we realized the extent to which things had been changed and the extent to which the attorneys had just done a really bad job creating her estate plan. And my dad ended up in probate court for about 4 years. Overall, I'd say he probably, lost out on maybe a little over $1 million between attorney's fees and things that have been changed in the estate. And he's fine, so, you know. But it's a lot of money, and it was very eye-opening for me and my sister. And so that was kind of the first light bulb moment for me that, okay, wow, like estate planning is really interesting. How did this happen? Why did this happen? My grandmother had an estate plan. Obviously it just epically failed. And second light bulb moment for me is kind of like what you just said. In 2019, I had my son and a whopping 8 pounds, 14 ounces and almost 24 hours of labor later. And and now we know why I stopped with one. That also just that mom moment of like, oh, you know, what happens to him if something happens to us? And so between those two things, I owned a gym off Baxter Street for 3 years. It's kind of like a passion project. I love fitness, loved working with women. It was an all women's gym, Athens Fit Club. And but I guess God tapped me on the shoulder in November of 2019, and I decided to close it right before COVID hit and dive into starting my own law firm. So I did a 6-month master course in estate planning. And I remember my sister and I looking at each other at the beginning and being like, when are we going to feel like we're not faking it anymore? When are we going to actually know what this stuff means? So my sister is now my senior paralegal and firm administrator, and we're now a team of 6, and I can very confidently say that we are no longer faking it. But we maybe are auditing a couple of our earliest plans. But I still guarantee that they are a lot better than what a lot of attorneys did. So it was just kind of a weird progression, but I think we ended up where we're supposed to be, and I think we've made a big mark in the industry because we pride ourselves on being very different than traditional attorneys. Number one, we're not a bunch of middle-aged men in suits, sorry. And and number two, you know, we just come at it from a much more personal place and really try to get to know our clients and create relationships with them and get to know what their families and their goals are. And, you know, help them feel confident that we will be there for them on the back end if anything does happen. So it's just a much different approach than the impersonal experience that I think a lot of people think of when they think of attorneys. Attorney's scary word sometimes.
It is. And that's what, I mean, I followed along y'all's journey for a couple of years now, and really just through social media, I can just feel the difference in what y'all are building and doing, and also the trust. Like, you can tell, like, you care about the clients, you care about the experience, and it's cool to hear it came out of something that was a huge negative. I love when businesses are started, you know, when there's a problem and you kind of are the client, and then not only that, it was a problem and then a very bad experience. And so you've been the customer, you've been through what's wrong with the traditional way of doing it, and so I love watching something different and unique and develop on what y'all are doing. And then also, too, y'all have fun with stuff. It's not all stuffy and boring. Y'all celebrate when people finish, you know, putting something in place. I think it takes a really intimidating, I guess, piece of information or something somebody's thinking about that's not that exciting and confusing. And y'all seem to be making it a lot easier and a lot more fun, which is awesome.
That's really our goal. I mean, we're a team of moms at the end of the day. And so we all get it. We've all been there. We all know what it feels like to, you know, have kids and love them more than anything. But so our goal really is to make it as fun and simple as possible. It's a morbid topic. No one wants to talk about dying. But I always joke that there's two truths in life, and it's death and taxes.
I love it. And they're both sitting planning, in this room right now.
And I'm just like you, I always joke that I know just enough about taxes to be dangerous. but I never give tax advice. We just try to make it really fun. Almost every month we do an event called Whiskey and Wills. And really we're just trying to bring awareness because everybody's heard of wills. It's what, when people think of estate planning, they think of wills, but wills are very limited at the end of the day in what they can do. And so it's just an opportunity for people to come and actually have a date night. Like, I have a lot of clients that come in from Whiskey and Wills and they're like, it was just a really fun date night. And I'm like, you know what? If I can create that with an estate planning presentation, like, I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job.
All right. I'm about to leverage this and steal some stuff from you. We need to start like tequila and taxes every month. And I didn't know it could be like a fun date night. This is great.
Yes. And I always joke. I'm like, listen, if you're coming in here to learn about dying and what happens if you die, then I can at least liquor you up a little bit first.
Yes.
So, and I happen to really like bourbon. I'm definitely no like bourbon expert or anything like that. But, my dog's name is Woodford and my cat's name is Whiskey. So if that tells you anything, I like bourbon.
I love it. That's awesome. All right. For most of our audience, they're entrepreneurs or business owners. They're just busy. And so when it comes down to like stressful things or complicated things or taking time to do something they don't want to think about, they just avoid it because there's 1,000 other fires to put out. And always tell anybody I know getting into business, I say, hey, listen, here's what you're signing up for. I've been trying to get this for 25 years. It's just, I accept it as reality and my life's gotten a lot better, but you're going to always be 40 hours behind. You're never going to get everything done. You're never going to get your business where you want it. There's always things changing and growing. So we got to pick what we neglect or what we do and don't do. And I think your world is something as entrepreneurs and business owners, we often neglect, me included.
What? You mean people don't want to talk about dying?
No.
And don't pay lots of money to figure out what happens?
And get confused about what just happened and what, you know, you're trying to, in my opinion, speculate 30 years in the future, hopefully, or 50 years in the future. And you're like, man, I'll worry about that later. But let's take me for an example. Number one, I want to talk about some things and some areas I'm lacking that I need in place and want your expertise on. Number two, the next step in this is me booking something with you and actually paying you for coming over and getting my stuff in place. But I'm embarrassed to say I've spent all of my time building and growing and very little around what happens if something happens to me. Maybe that's business, maybe that's ego, maybe that's honestly really lack of caring until here recently when we, you know, it's me and my wife and things are pretty straightforward. Now I have a little boy and things like matter on a level that's just, I didn't even know existed 10 months ago. And so I have multiple businesses. I've got money scattered around at multiple banks and different places. We own 10 or 12 rental properties in multiple states. I don't even have a will. I have operating agreements with my business partners that kind of have some, you know, exit strategy or some things happen. But
better than most.
We are outside of operating agreements, and my wife and I, you know, kind of owning everything in each other's names and having things in both of our names for most everything across the board, I have nothing else. And right. That is like scary and embarrassing all at the same time. So coach me, teach me, what do I need? What do we need to do? How do we start this ball rolling?
Well, I say I never give tax advice, but the one piece of tax advice that I always tell my business owners, because I work with a ton of business owners, lots of business owners, is that number one, we all need tax write-offs, right?
100%.
Guess what? An estate plan, you can write off.
I can write it off.
Because it
I
is.
I love it.
The beginning stages of what we call a business succession plan.
Yes, business expense already. I'm saving half of what I'm paying you from the start.
So listen, estate planning's not cheap, but you get to write it off. When I tell all of my business owners that at the end of the meeting, they're just all of a sudden they light up and they're like, really? I get to write this off? And I'm like, well, I'm not a CPA, so go talk to your, you know.
There is a big business purpose to what, yes, I think this is 100% write-off. I think I can win that argument. Now, all right, let me pause for a second. When you say expensive, I need some sort of bulb. Is this like, is $2,000 expensive? Is $20,000 expensive? Is $100,000? What level of expensive are we talking about for the normal, average, everyday business owner, entrepreneur that walks in your door?
So one of the ways that we really differentiate ourselves from other law firms is that we never hourly bill.
Okay.
So I have no idea what my hourly rate is.
Project cost.
Isn't that great? So there's no surprise billing with my firm, and we're very transparent about pricing. So I can literally tell you almost exactly what our fees would be. So for our families that really don't have a lot of assets, maybe they don't own a house, maybe they rent or something like that, and just need a will-based plan, typically they're $2,000 per individual and $2,500 per couple. But what a lot of people don't think of when they think of this is that this is a very comprehensive plan still. It still includes all of your incapacity documents. So healthcare power of attorney, financial power of attorney, advanced healthcare directive, living will. So who do you want paying your bills if you're alive but incapacitated? Who do you want making healthcare decisions? What do you want to happen at the end of your life? So that's all included as well. For a couple, both individuals actually get a will, their own will, and then they get the incapacity documents as well. So it's really two sets of documents. Our living trust-based plan is what 95% of our clients do. Mm-hmm. And that is $4,000 per individual or $5,000 per couple. And that's the base package. So there are additional trusts that you can tack on. Sure. If you have lots of businesses or properties, obviously those are some extra expenses, but I go over with all my clients. I'd say our average fee is going to range between like the $5,000 to $7,000 mark for families or business owners especially. But because with a living trust, what we're doing is we're basically setting it up so that the family completely avoids probate on the back end. And unfortunately, what a lot of people don't realize is that even if you have a good operating agreement, if you pass away and you have nothing else in place, your business probably will still end up in probate court. Probate court takes on average 6 to 12 months in Georgia, and probate court is where your business will go to die.
6 to 12 months?
That's
I thought when people said it takes a while, I was thinking like 2 months. Oh my God.
Fulton County, you're looking at a year plus.
Holy cow.
But and actually Georgia's quote unquote probate friendly. Other states are way worse, California being the worst.
Sure.
But part of that, I won't lie, is partly the fact that probate attorneys kind of typically suck. Mm-hmm. They drag their feet. They have other bigger fish to fry. So they're making a lot of money doing other types of litigation. So it's kind of on the back burner for them. I've tried to refer to so many different probate attorneys, and even if it's very simple, straightforward, uncontested. The attorney just drags their feet on filing. They drag their feet on making sure any notices are published, of getting in front of the judge in the first place. And so they take a process that was already going to take a few months, and then they kind of drag it out and make it worse. And I hear this over and over again. So I occasionally hear that one person that's like, oh, it was no problem. It was a breeze. But that is definitely not the majority of my clients that I hear stories from. But with probate court, it's an open court process. So if anybody's going to contest anything, they can contest it, which is what happened to my dad. His step-siblings contested it for 4 years. So one day I hope his stepsister hears that she's the reason I started my law firm.
That's awesome.
I kind of would love to rub it in her face a little bit. But you don't want your business, you don't want your property, and right now if something happened to both you and your wife, the scary thing to really think about when you have kids is, who would get your son?
I agree. Nothing against our parents, but they're like 70. I don't think they should be,
But if you think that's a hard decision for you to figure out, think about if it's some random judge who doesn't know your family at all.
Jesus, that scares me to
death. You know, he doesn't know your siblings or, your parents or whatever. And usually there is somebody in every family that's they're like, absolutely not. We do not want them to be guardians. Maybe it's this just because they're older or whatever. But the judge doesn't know that. There's no way of a judge knowing anything about that. And ultimately, when your estate ends up in probate, it is up to the judge's discretion at the end of the day. Even if you have a will in place, the will is just a legal suggestion telling the judge what you would like to happen.
Really?
So the will is not set in stone.
It's not the end all be all of what happens.
If there's any ambiguities, any vagueness, if anybody contests it, if it's against the law in some way, shape, or form, absolutely it's up to the judge's final word. And a lot of people don't realize that. So revocable living trust, avoid all of that. They take the process down to more like 1 to 2 months if done properly. There's no judge, no state involvement, no nothing. Businesses, we assign them to the trust so that the business just automatically, someone can step in and continue to run it or sell it or get it ready to sell or wind it down or whatever it may be. And that applies for incapacity too, because it's not just what happens to your business if you die. It's what happens if you decide you want to go on a trip for 6 months or you get in a car accident and you're in a coma for a couple months.
Yeah.
It's what happens if you can't be there, period. And so that's what a lot of business succession planning is too, it's slightly different than estate planning. It's kind of a separate step, but it's making sure that you are growing your business to get it to the point that you want to eventually be at. Are you building this business to grow? Are you building it to leave to your child? Are you building it to leave to a colleague who's joined you or sell it or whatever it may be? What is your end game? What's your 5-year goal? What's your 10-year goal with being able to take a 6-month sabbatical and not be there, but have your business continue operating and making money for you and helping people? So it looks at all of that. So business owners are our number one absolute person. It's like the avatar client that has to do some estate planning. And it's really funny. I love it when people come in and they're like, oh, we just have a really simple estate plan, which is really simple estate. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's take a look. Because we kind of like financial advisors, we gather a lot of financial information up front. And I take a look and it's almost always like, oh, they own like three businesses or multiple properties, or it's a blended family, or they have one child from a previous marriage. And it's like, no, that's, some people do have very straightforward estate plans, but even for those people, living trusts can be extremely beneficial because it literally makes it as simple as possible for your family on the back end.
Love it.
And there's just no way that probate's ever going to be that.
God, that's huge. I mean, just that knowledge in general for our listeners to understand is massive and say, hey, here's the one step that can change all of this. And also, too, knowing you can put this in place for $5,000 to $7,000. I mean, I can plan out this future of my business, of my assets, of what I've spent 40 years growing and building and developing. I can lay out a plan for, and what happens to my kid if something happens to us or something. It doesn't have to be around death. There's a lot of other scenarios and situations. And not only that, I can write it off. That's a no-brainer. I mean, we have people out there spending that on their logo or their marketing, and I'm like,
Branding's expensive, okay?
100%, but it's at some point, this is a small price to pay for what you're planning out and what you're doing and the value you're getting out of it. Now,
the peace of mind.
Yes, that's where, truly this hasn't stressed me out until we started this conversation, and I'm starting to get.
Now you're going to wake up.
Now I'm like, how fast can I get on your calendar, or on your staff's calendar? Because this is starting to stress me out way more than I realized. And just understanding some of the dynamics behind knowing it 6 to 12 months, that's the part that, caught me by surprise. Now, once we put this in place, let's say we go through – let's back up for a second. Going through this process, hey, here's a $7,000 check. Let's roll. Is this a one-month deal? Is this a six-month deal? Is this how long does it take to get in place? And once it's in place, what type of maintenance ongoing do we need to do?
Right. So for – Our process in and of itself takes on average around 2 months from start to finish. Okay. So typically we start with clients either coming to one of our whiskey and wills or doing a consult with our amazing client services director, Sarah. And so they get kind of a feel of, okay, here's what our prices are. Here's what our process is. Make sure that they're a good fit for our firm. At the end of the day, if they're DIYers that are price shopping, maybe not the best fit for our firm. I fully admit it. It is what it is. So happy to give them other suggestions there as well. But the next step would be to do a life and legacy planning session with me. Right now, I'm the only person that does life and legacy planning sessions at my law firm that will hopefully potentially change because I've built an amazing team. But right now, it's me. So that's where I really sit down with the clients. It's usually about an hour to an hour and a half. I really get to know them. They have some homework ahead of time so that, again, I can get a good idea of what their financial situation is. And we can actually look at what their estate looks like. A lot of people don't live in their quote-unquote net worth. We live in our bank account numbers. So it's really typically very eye-opening to see what your net worth is if you die. So we show them that number. And they're often sitting there and they're like, are you kidding me? That's way more than I would have ever anticipated, which is good, right?
Love it. Yep.
We've made a lot of people realize that they're actually millionaires. When you tack up property, your equity in all of your properties, retirement accounts, life insurance accounts, investments, business, and businesses, let's face it, we don't have our businesses appraised every day. So those are hard to put a dollar sign on. But, we can give it a ballpark figure if you look at your revenue and everything like that. There's a formula for that. Look it up on Google. And then bank accounts, personal property, cars, boats, airplanes. I've only had one of those. It's really sitting down and getting to actually see what your net worth is, but also getting organized. How many people have all of this information at their fingertips? I have had some very type A people that actually already had an Excel spreadsheet, but that's not common. So usually they say, oh my gosh, it took me so long to get all this stuff to do your homework. And I'm like, well, but ultimately now you know, and you know where it is, and you know how to get access to it, and you know what you're worth. So the homework's worth it. So we go over all, you know, their details, what their goals are, what their family looks like, and then I kind of go over the different options. And so my goal is to help educate them so that they can make an educated decision for what best fits their goals and their family, and it's not just me telling them, hey, you need this. So that's kind of what that session looks like. If they decide to move forward and jump into it, the next step is actually just designing their plan. So some clients do this at the end of that first meeting, some schedule out, but either way, it's naming your fiduciaries, deciding exactly what everything's going to look like. Fiduciaries is a big word, but basically who do you want to name as the executor and guardian and all of that fun stuff. One thing we do offer for families with minor kids that no other law firm in this area offers, and I can stake my business on that, is that we do what's called a kids protection plan. So we don't just name permanent guardians for minor kids. Like I said, I have a 5-year-old son, so this was weighed very heavy on my heart. It's not about what happens just if I pass away or both me and my husband pass away. It's what happens in the event of an emergency. What happens if we're out of town and someone's keeping my son? I have a lot of family members that live within a mile radius because I'm from here and I actually bought my childhood home from my dad. But a lot of people don't. But even then, if my mom is keeping my son, she does not have absolute legal authority to keep my child in the event of an emergency. At the end of the day, a judge does still have to decree it. So what we do is we do primary guardians. We do a successive list. So we name your first choice, second choice. Then we name emergency guardians, people who can keep your kids in the event of an emergency. And we give them the legal authorization to do so. We also do minor medical power of attorneys. And I did have my first client actually reach out and tell me that her brother had to use the minor medical power of attorney when her son broke his leg at Rush. So fun story. And then we do laminated instructions for babysitters that have a list of all the emergency contacts and instructions to get one of those people there so that if the police come, one of those people has legal authority, because babysitters absolutely do not have legal authority to keep your kids. I love fetchit.org. And so I have lots of college babysitters, but none of them have the legal authority to keep my child in the event of an emergency. And then we also do ID cards for your wallet. So if you're ever in an accident and the police is going through your wallet trying to figure out who you are, there's actually a little ID card that says, hey, I have a minor kid at home. Please call one of these numbers and make sure they're safe. So a much more comprehensive way of looking at protecting minor kids. And that's, again, really important to me. And it was not being offered, so I created it. From the design meeting, we schedule a signing meeting about a month out. That will be back at the office. I am no longer doing signing meetings. Business owner win.
Yes.
Yay.
Love it.
Delegating. We have a new attorney on staff who is doing signing meetings along with my sister, who's my senior paralegal. And then, so at the signing meeting, we walk our clients through all the documents. It's a lot of documents. We get a lot of comparisons to house closings, but I mean, it's probably about 200 pages. Our trusts are 90 pages because they're very comprehensive and cover everything that could possibly pop up in court. We want to make sure it's covered. And it's all the incapacity documents, the kids protection plan, a family wealth inventory that actually lists all of your assets so that your executor or trustee know exactly where everything is. Fun fact, there's over a billion with a B dollars in the unclaimed funds department in Georgia.
Holy cow.
From people that haven't known the money existed or how to access it when someone dies.
Yeah, that's where, like, if I'm trying to, like, get all my stuff into one place or one person managing it, because if something happened to my wife, she wouldn't have a clue where to turn.
And usually it's the husband that wouldn't have a clue. So
yeah.
Because usually it's the wife.
And that's what I see. That's what I see from the tax side is I'll have a client I've worked with for 15 years, but I've only ever worked with one side. And when something happens, the spouse comes in and they don't even know where to start.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's huge. I love, God, there's so much about this I love. Like the logical and logistical side of the babysitter laminations and the cards in the wallet and the murder, the stuff that's way more likely to happen way quicker than we realize. Like, that stuff is, I think,
car accidents happen all the time. So, I mean,
such a peace of mind to have, and not taking something that can be, it's going to be really stressful regardless, but
right.
probably 90%
no
of the
protective services involved.
Because it comes down to, I tell everybody going into a partnership and things in businesses, like, hey, go ahead and iron out everything that could happen, all the scenarios, and go ahead and have an answer to it. This is essentially doing that for your family, for your
right.
child, for an emergency. And then you said something, this is what I love about your approach and how you've built the business. You didn't use something that scared people or like, hey, you better figure this out or you're going to be broke or your money's going to end up somewhere else. It's, you said, hey, when people sit down and go through this, they end up figuring out they're worth way more than they thought, or a lot of times they have way more than they thought. And I think that is truly the case. And I think that's why this can be exciting and so cool for especially a lot of business owners, or if you have rental property, if you sit down and financially lay out equity and where you're at, you're going to be shocked. And then when you project this thing out 7 years or 10 years, I think you're going to be tremendously shocked at the amount of equity and value and just net worth you're going to have. Yep. And so this stuff is applicable to everybody out there, and it can be super exciting. I'm a spreadsheet guy. I'm a numbers guy. I keep everything mapped out in 7 to 10 year increments in our businesses and our personal life. And it took all of the stress. When I started doing that years ago, it took all of the future stress of financially, what are we going to do when we're 50 or 60? Or like, all of that falls off the table when you map some of this stuff out financially. Now, I don't have any of it protected or what will happen if something happens to me. But as long as I keep living and doing what I'm doing and I don't screw it up, we're going to be in an awesome financial place. Now I got to come in and with you and put the things in place that could happen in some other scenarios.
And I think what a lot of people, a huge misconception about estate planning is they hear the word estate and they think they have to have millions of dollars for it to apply to them.
Yep.
And I work with a lot of people that are still building their estate. So it may be that they have a net worth right now of $400,000, but they're building.
Yep.
So, I mean, I've worked with clients all the way from the bottom all the way to $30 million and actually qualifying for the estate tax, which almost no one does.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I work with different families, and that is something that I truly, truly love about our firm and am very proud of, that I'm so different than other law firms, because I don't only care about clients, just care about clients that have $5 million plus. I care about all my clients equally. Versus if you are just a regular person like me and you go into one of the bigger firms in town, they don't care that much about you unless you have $5+ million, unless they consider you high net worth. You're meeting with their junior associate who doesn't even know how to do a living trust. And I've seen that a lot. And my dad was treated like that by one of the big firms here. And they basically charged him for the law. They did a basic will that left it three ways. And I'm like, Dad, the law does that. Like, literally, that is what your will says under the Georgia statute. And they didn't even offer him incapacity documents. Yeah. So I was just blown away that they actually had the audacity to charge for this. So I mean, it really applies to almost everybody. And I don't think they understand that. The craziest part is that a lot of the celebrities, even the ones that knew they were dying, didn't have estate plans. And you're like, of all the people not to have estate plans, so it's not even like it's only the rich and famous doing it. It's like, no, not even the rich and famous do it. Another thing that my firm does is we do a life and legacy interview for all of our clients. We don't require it. It's not mandatory, but it's included in all of our plans. And it's where we actually sit down with them and we just interview them about like their childhood, their family, their favorite memories, how they met. I have a lot of like women tear up and men tear up when I'm telling them about this, but the video itself is not emotional. It's them kind of bantering back and forth. And it's just a video that your kids would have if something ever happened to you, because I have 9,000 videos of my son on my phone, but I was literally looking through them today to try and find a video of me and him. And there were four videos of me and him over the course of his 5 years of life. And most of those were actually for my business because, I exploit my kid a little bit. He's cuter than me. And I do pay him.
I pay him. The business. Yes.
I pay him with no income taxes.
I love it.
So if you have kids, use them.
It's funny you bring that up because I thought about not too long ago. I'm very grateful for this podcast and my Instagram videos because if something happened to me, my kid would have like 200 episodes of podcasts that he could go back and listen to or something. And so like there is like having a video, having something, having some.
That'd be so morbid. Think about it. My kid would have a bunch of videos of me talking about dying. That's my legacy. Yay.
That's true. But things will be super easy and all buttoned up and in great financial shape for moving forward. So, you know. But it's
I follow my own advice,
All right. You're now speaking like a real business owner or, you know, the cobbler's kids has no shoes. I file my tax return in October every year. So, you know, I'm on the back end of everything.
Hey, I filed mine in March, beginning of March.
I'm impressed. I'm super impressed.
But
I love, though, so this is where, like, things overlap from a business standpoint for us because it's very similar to my world here at our tax firm. We can serve the entrepreneur business owner that has $200,000 of revenue the exact same we can for the one that has $10 million in revenue. It's the same structure. You probably have an S-Corp. It's almost the same price.
Everybody has an S-Corp now.
Yeah, and so like it's that's the cool thing that it's not something to where there's a big different way of approach or treatment for somebody that has a $10 million business or a $200,000 business, and that's – opening that up where everybody has the things in place with, you know, having their tax side and tax planning and the side of all the things y'all do, I think is really cool. And people don't have to figure out the DIY method because it's something that y'all have made open and accessible and affordable for most everybody out there and definitely worth it and provide a ton of value.
And unfortunately, DIY very rarely actually works.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a false protection, like a false peace of mind. Like people are, oh, I did it. Hey, look, I even got it signed and notarized, which most people don't. But then it doesn't do what they think it's going to do.
Yep.
Because again, most people don't know anything about estate planning and I don't expect them to. I didn't really know that much. I didn't even learn that much about it in law school. I mean, like, you know, that's why lawyers that do wills on the side are honestly just as dangerous as do it your DIYers because that's not what they focus on. That's not their expertise. So they're just trying to make a quick, you know, couple hundred extra bucks. And I tell people, I'm like, go do it online. You're just as well off doing it online if you're going to go to one of them. So, but I mean, the other thing we do, I think that you mentioned was keeping up with the trust and the estate plan as time goes on. So just our base plan, all of our clients, we actually do 3-year reviews with them. So nice. We reach out, we say hi, we're like, okay, hey, like we've been going through our first round of these, you know, has anything changed? Is there anything that you've acquired that's not owned by the living trust? Because in order for your living trust to work, it has to be owned by the living trust, which a lot of people don't realize. It doesn't take any control away from you because you're the trustee. You're still own it. It's still your money. It's still everything. But that's why, especially with living trust, DIY plans almost never work because people don't actually transfer their assets into the trust. And the trust is like 10 pages versus 90 pages of very comprehensive planning. But so we do 3-year reviews. We do flat fees for anybody that needs to do any amendments. It's like $250, $500, so not much. But then we also offer a membership plan. And so for our clients that do have a lot of businesses or property or their estate's changing, I still work with a lot of physicians because I represented them. So we actually have basically a membership plan where for $5.99 a year, they can keep us on retainer. And so they get a yearly meeting with us and their tax professional or their financial advisor, kind of like creating their own little home office.
Love it. And you can write it off.
And they can write it off. And we work on it. And so it's just a way for us to keep more up to date with them, make sure that their trust stays funded, make sure, you know, that nothing's overly changing. And so we offer kind of 2 different plans. But with either of our plans moving forward, whether they pay for the membership or not, our biggest thing is we want our clients to know that we're going to be there for their family on the back end. So if one of them passes away, we're going to be there for your spouse. If you both pass away, for our clients that do living trust, we actually do an automatic meeting with their trustee, give them a checklist, tell them what they need to do. And typically that's really all the legal help they need, unless they just want more hands-on legal help. And then they can pay us or another firm for that. But I mean, really, for most estates, that's all they need. And then for wills, we actually are now offering uncontested probate because, again, I haven't been able to find a good probate attorney. Yeah. So we're offering uncontested probate, and I do have some good attorneys I refer to if it gets contested. But so now it's the same kind of process, very hand-holding, very structured, very open communication. We just want everybody to feel very comfortable reaching out to us, emailing us, calling us. I want them to know that we're on top of it, that we're working with them, for them, and not just, you know, taking their money and disappearing. So
this is fantastic. This whole thing has been packed with information we've never been able to share before. It's taught me a lot, and also just how easy this is to put in place, and something we all need to have. And it is, it's put some urgency on my side. Like, I need to get this figured out pretty fast and reach out
to
y'all.
Yes, you do.
So I absolutely. So, all right, this is my favorite part of the episode. You have delivered epic content and information education for our listeners, but this is the place we get to do the max out moment. This is Trish's max out moment. Everybody out there, one tactic, one tip, go out. They can implement, they can do something to read. It could be whatever you want it to be. How do they go out and get stronger? If you could leave one tip, one piece of advice as we wrap up the episode, what would it be?
So ironically, my son's name is Max.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah. There you go. He always sees his name everywhere. He's like, why is my name everywhere? I just operate all in. You know, one of the hardest things, when I owned my gym, I kind of called it my on-the-ground MBA. I loved it. It was a passion project. I loved the women that I worked out with, but I didn't operate all in. I didn't hit the ground. I didn't pound pavement. I didn't do what I needed to do to really make it a super successful business. And you know, yes, I own a law firm, and I help other business owners, and I protect against all that. But at the end of the day, I'm a business owner just like anybody else. And in fact, I'm more a business owner than a lawyer at this point in time. And yeah, you just really have to pound pavement and just operate, just go balls to the wall, full in, full speed ahead, and make investments in your own company. And making investments is sometimes one of the hardest things to do, but it is one of the most important thing you can do. And for business owners, you know, it might be a little bit more than the 5 to 7 because that might be your base plan. And then you might need to come back and do business succession planning and go a little bit more in detail for your businesses. But either way, it's fully worth the investment because we want to help get you to a place where you are confident and you can go on that trip and not stress out about it. And you can leave your child or your business for a while and not be up at 3 o'clock in the morning with the sweats. So as a business owner, go balls to the wall and make the investments that you need to make your business successful.
I love it. That'll eliminate so much stress in your business life. And I think that's amazing advice. And I think that's something our audience needs to hear. And for both of us, that's probably been the difference we've seen in successful businesses and only things that weren't successful is that commitment to go all in. And I think as you go into this weekend, commit to going all in your business, invest what it takes to do that. Or if you're not willing to, this may not be the right business for you. There may be something else you need to look at or think about. This has been awesome. This has been epic. I'm going to start getting my stuff in order immediately, and I'll start sharing some updates on the podcast about that. But where do people find you at? How do they connect? How do they follow along? How do they see the awesome content you're putting out?
So my law firm's name is Arch Legacy Firm. So you can find us on Facebook, Instagram. You often will find a picture of me holding a glass of bourbon. I wish I was holding one right now. That'd be helpful. Our phone number, we're on Google. I think we now have like 125 five-star reviews, which is pretty awesome. But yeah, so it's info@archlegacyfirm.com if you want to email us. And then just look us up on Google, look us up on Facebook, and we're here.
That is awesome. Well, this has been a fun episode. You have delivered amazing information for all of us. As you go out this weekend, get stronger, go all in. Follow along. It's awesome content on Instagram. I love everything that's going on and all you are doing. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, and join us for Whiskey and Wells. Come drink some bourbon. You know I got it. If you wanna come get it, stand next to this money like, hey, hey, hey. Jimmy, good. Like you were shaking.